Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today as we continue walking through this strange paradiso. I want to warn you guys, okay, this first story that I'm going to share with you is not only creepy, but it's kind of gruesome also, okay? So this happened so many years ago, maybe about 10 years ago or so. And the person who this happened to, let me see, I'm going to call him John, okay? So John was actually a medic. So one day he cut himself. He had to go to urgent care to get stitches. So they stitched him up. He said he had like 3 stitches, which doesn't seem like a whole lot, but that cut was really deep. He cut his hand, okay? So he has these few stitches, and so much time has to pass by, and then he was supposed to go back, and they were going to remove them. Well, he figured that he doesn't have to go back to have them removed because he can do it himself. He's a medic, okay? So he says that he was sitting out in his backyard with some friends and this and that. It was like in the summertime. So after when his friends all left and everything, he was continuing to sit in his backyard. He said that the weather was perfect. He had a couple of dogs out there and he was just out there enjoying the evening. He said it was probably about 10 p.m. or so. And he decided he was going to remove his stitches right then at that time. Because from where he was sitting, the kitchen light was right behind him. So his area, not to mention the lights in the yard, was all illuminated. And he could totally see what he was doing. So he says he went and he got his suture, whatever they're called, scissor or whatever. And so he cut the things and he pulled them out and everything was fine. Except for when he pulled them out, he couldn't find where they went. So no big deal. He just figured he'd go back out the next day when the sun was out and then he'd find them and put them in the trash. So he goes on inside and he cleans up for the night and everything. And he's sitting in his living room, which is adjacent to the kitchen. And there are two windows that are facing that same side. So he's in his living room. This is later in the evening. He said it was probably around midnight or so. And he heard this sound outside. The reason he could hear it so well is because the windows were open. They were open to that side of the yard where he had been when he was removing the sutures. And he said it was the strangest sound. So he didn't know what it could be. It was something that he never heard before, but it kind of sounded like someone out there smacking their lips. He said that's the only thing that I could describe it. Like somebody was going like that, you know, like you're eating something really tasty. So he gets up and he goes to look out of the kitchen window, and there he sees this thing. He said, the only way that I can describe this thing to you is like it was something wearing a robe with a hood on it, and it's almost like the face was illuminated this bluish white color, and it was out there smacking its lips because, it was eating the sutures. He said, I could clearly see those little things in the sutures, in this entity's fingers, and it was sucking on them. Oh, God, I got goosebumps right now, I gotta tell you. And he was frozen. Oof. My goosebumps are like even to the back of my head, okay? He was frozen, and in the first place, he didn't know what it was he was looking at. And then he was grossed out by the fact that whatever this thing was sucking on the sutures, because in his mind, with everything just moving so quickly in his mind, he realized that there were some remnants of tissue on the sutures, of course. There were remnants of DNA, whatever. And he said, I wanted to scream. That's how scared and grossed out and traumatized he was. He said, but the only thing that would come out was like a, he said he couldn't even scream. So finally, he somehow got the energy, or whatever you want to call it, to close that window. When he closed the window, because he slammed it shut, that thing, because it didn't seem to notice him before, looked up and held up that stitch, or those few little strings, okay, of stitches, like it wanted more. Are you kidding me right now? Ugh. Yes. And he said he closed the blinds and he went back into the living room and stood in the middle of the living room, and he was going like, because he didn't know what to do. What's he going to do? Call the police? Call one of his friends? He was afraid no one would believe him, and it was already after midnight, almost going on 1 a.m. He was afraid to even go into his bedroom and go to bed. So he made sure everything was closed, all the doors closed and locked, and finally went into his room. He said he did not sleep all night long. The next morning, he was even scared to go back outside. The sun was out. Everything was fine. He went outside, even though he was scared, and there was nothing there. There were no stitches, no nothing. Nothing was there. Of course not. But it's like, what was that? What kind of creature was that? And he, at the time, he did not live like out in the country or anything like that. He lived in a regular neighborhood with neighbors all around him. His question is, what was that? And how did it just end up there doing this? It is gross, okay? This story is creepy and gross. And it seems to me that somehow, now we don't know, and I'm not accusing anyone or anything like that, but we really don't know what our neighbors do. We don't know what they are involved in. We don't know what may have even taken place on that land before the neighborhood was built. So it seems like somehow this minuscule amount of tissue was enough to attract whatever this creature was. Just so startling and gruesome and sickening. And he could hear that thing smacking its lips. Just horrifying. So I'm going to tell you guys something. If this can happen, and I'm pretty sure that other things similar to this have happened before, it just takes people to come forward and tell about these things. But maybe even something like throwing away a Band-Aid. Now, I'm not saying if you just put it in the trash, whatever, but maybe if left out, or, you know, you have people who litter, Even like in the woods, people who go hiking and things like this, they always talk about certain locations and people just dump their trash out there and so on. So who's to say that some of the things that happen in certain areas and have been reported in certain areas, we have reports of like dogmen and things like this. Now, how do we know that these things haven't been attracted to those locations by something as simple as this? I mean, with their ultra super keen sense of smell and other things like that. Who's to say that something as simple as that or a Band-Aid or maybe even someone scraping themselves on a bush or a tree while they're hiking, like that could be enough to attract some of these things. Oh man, I cannot get rid of my goosebumps, but ever since, I mean, I can't get that out of my mind and I keep trying to picture it and it's very, very disturbing. And once again, the whole thing is just so gruesome, okay? So I hope, I hope that you guys can get past this, okay? That's why I had to warn you before I began the story. A little bit of warning, all right? So anyways, let's go ahead and walk past that now. And this is something that I cannot take credit for this because I never thought about this before. And this is going to, you know, it's kind of like theory, okay? Because it is, I guess, theoretical, okay? It's someone's thought who actually, I overheard this. I'm like at the coffee shop and I can hear certain conversations when I'm sitting there. And so I kind of like just tuned in to this, what I'm going to share with you. Once again, this is someone's thoughts. And so the discussion was about the movie Signs. Now, those of you who have seen that movie, who are familiar with that movie with Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, and it's about like the crop circles and these aliens who they can't be around water because water kills them, right? So the discussion was, is there a bit of truth to that movie Signs? So that caught my attention right away. How could there be truth in that movie? So, and I was straining to like really get a listen to this, okay? But anyhow, this goes a little further than just the whole alien agenda. This is actually partially taken from the Bible. So those of you, okay, who know what the Nephilim are or were, you know, both, because it is said that there are still Nephilim in our timeline right now. So anyways, in ancient times, the Nephilim were the offspring of mortal human women and fallen angels. And they were said to grow to heights of like 9 feet, 11 feet tall, and things like this. So, what happens is during the flood, okay, and we're talking about when Noah built the ark and all that stuff, the reason that God created this flood was because of the Nephilim that were on the earth at that time, because they were evil, they were hybrids. And also, there were a lot of things going on at that time, like bestiality and other things. So there were quite a few hybrids. So you would have things like the centaurs and the minotaurs, okay? You would have human and animal hybrids, chimeras, whatever you want to call them, because they were a mix of species. Now, I don't know, because the words, the wording of ancient texts is so much different than how we speak now. So I don't know really, guys, if this is to be taken verbatim. I'm not saying that I doubt the Bible, but since the language is so different, all right, it's a little tricky. But anyhow, that is how it is interpreted. There are just these species who were intermingled because of bestiality, because of all these other things going on. So there was really nothing that was not contaminated. There was really no species that was natural, except for Noah and his family. They had not been contaminated. And the animals that were brought on to the ark were not contaminated. They were pure in their form, in their DNA. So when the flood took place, you had all these other species, as well as humans, who died. They drowned in the flood. Now, it is said that the demonic spirits that inhabited the Nephilim were, because the bodies were drowned, they had nowhere to go, okay? They had nowhere to go now because they had to leave the bodies because the bodies were drowning in the flood, so they had to flee. They roamed the earth afterwards, disembodied spirits. Now, since they had to leave their host, these demonic spirits, they were probably very angry. They were probably also maybe frightened, but there was more than likely a lot of different types of emotion going on at that time. All right. So now, okay, fast forward. And when Jesus was on the earth and he came upon that man who was possessed by so many different entities, so many different diabolical spirits, and was asked, "What is your name?" And his reply was, "Legion, because we are many." And then they knew that Jesus was going to cast them out. And they begged Jesus to cast them into the pigs, into the swine. And so Jesus was like, okay. So he cast them into the swine. And then what did the swine do? They drowned. All right. So the whole theory of this is there may be some truth to in that movie Signs, because now you've got these things that are supposed to be from another planet, galaxy, star system, whatever, and they cannot be around water because water kills them. So is that an indirect type of sign for the viewer? Is that a way of this person indirectly putting this out there to get certain individuals to think, or maybe certain people who understand things right away, which I am not one, okay? But I was thinking about that. And, I mean, we don't know about these aliens, these beings that are supposedly from other planets and what have you, we really don't know, because I've never heard of anything around water, or if these things being sighted around water, around a lake, or anything like that in the ocean. But it does lead me, because I was reading this book, Behold a Pale Horse, okay? And the author of that book actually talks about when he was on a ship. I don't know if he was in the Navy or worked with the Navy or something, but he's talking about being on a ship, and he saw like UFOs going into the ocean. Like they're just driving their craft right down into the ocean. Like there's a city down there, as well as people saying that they have seen craft coming up out of the ocean at speeds that are just, they have never seen anything going that fast before. So that's why this is theory, okay? The whole alien and water thing, and how there may be a connection to the Nephilim. There may be a connection to the other events that took place in ancient days. And is it that maybe it's not all of the entities who have this aversion to water? Maybe it's different ones from different locations. These are all things that just because people have seen craft go into the ocean and come out of the ocean, these are all things that still should not sway our attention and say, no, there's no connection between the Nephilim and these aliens, because they're in Antarctica, they're under the water, there are cities, whatever, under the water and this and that. Well, no, not so much, guys, because there could be different types. There could be some that aren't affected by that. It's not to say that every single entity is Nephilim. So how do we separate these different types of various life forms? It's really, I mean, when you start thinking about this, okay? Because once again, I'm not saying, oh yeah, well, signs, yeah, it's probably that there is some like subliminal messaging in there. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's possible. I'm saying possibly. And it's very, anyone who has time or a little bit more time than I do to go down, a little further down the rabbit hole with this, may find out some pretty interesting conclusions. So I think if there is, or are any of you out there with a little bit more time, with a, you know, you can research and stay on task, unlike me. It's very difficult for me because I see one thing, oh, that looks interesting, and then on the way down, I see something else, and then I veer off to the right and off to the left. It's very difficult for me because I'm kind of interested in everything all at the same time. That's probably why I never hardly get anything finished. But I wanted to share that with you, bring that up, see how you feel about it. And if you want to take that a little further, take a closer look at this. It's pretty interesting stuff. Okay, now this last thing that I have is a story that comes from someone in, I'm going to say the Midwest, okay? And this person, when he was young, him and his friends, because they lived kind of like in what you would call rural, in a really rural area. So they would walk across like these empty fields to go to school and to come back home. And if they took a certain way, they would be around like the train tracks and all this stuff. They knew where the train tracks would take them. If they walked along and followed them, they would take a shortcut through the trees and all this other stuff. But they knew exactly where they were. They didn't get lost. So one day, they were walking and they were by the train tracks. And they were just, they're not in a big hurry to get home. They're walking, they're talking. He said it was him and like four other of his friends. And they see this man. They see this man walking along the train tracks, going in the same direction that they are. He's a little bit up ahead of them. But he's walking on the tracks. He's not on the side of the tracks. He's on the tracks. So this man is walking much slower than these boys. So these boys catch up with him, and they're just talking to each other. They're not bothering that man. And when they pass by that man, they were quiet because they just wanted to kind of like be respectful. And he said, we all got the same feeling at the same time because they each pretty much at the same time turned around to look at the man who was walking on the train tracks. And when they did, they said the only thing that they had to go by that this person looked like was a Doberman Pinscher walking on its two hind legs. But that's from the front, from the back. Like, it didn't have a tail. It didn't look like it had dog legs. It looked like a man. When they turned around, they saw the snout, like the face of a Doberman Pinscher, walking on its two hind legs. They turned back around and started walking faster. And then they heard something calling them, boys, boys. And they took off running. When they took off running, they heard like a dog running behind them. And they knew there's no way that they can outrun a dog. They got to a certain line of trees. They turned around because they knew we're going to have to either fight this dog or we're going to die. The dog ran past them but disappeared. As it ran past them but not on the side of them. It ran through their little group and turned into like a puff of smoke. Like as if a bunch of dirt was all around because of this dog running so fast. And it disappeared. It was gone. Needless to say, they never walked by the train tracks again. They went home to the one kid's house, told his parents. His dad and one of his dad's friends went out there, wanted the boys to show them where this happened. And they had their shotguns and all this stuff. Of course they went out there. Of course there was nothing there. They even called the sheriff. The sheriff said there have been sightings of something happening out here. No one knows what it is. No one knows if it's just someone fooling around. And they were like, no, this was nobody fooling around. This thing was a dog. And it disappeared. So the only suggestion was not to walk there anymore. Pretty, I mean, we can like talk about this. I can sit here and talk about this. And it doesn't really affect me but I wasn't there. Had I been there and witnessed something like that, it would probably be a lot more intense than just sharing this with you. Anyways, that's all that I've got for today. I want to thank all of you once again for joining me. I don't know how long I'll be able to stay on this app. So if for some reason I'm not here one day and I'm not here for like 2 weeks or something like that, it's because I've had to migrate to another app or whatever it is, okay? So please keep my contact information, maybe_Maria@outlook.com, so that if you can't find me, if you want to continue to walk with me and keep our little group together, you'll know where I am, okay? So wherever you're at, I hope you're having the best day ever. And once again, I want to thank all of you so much. We'll be walking and talking again soon as possible. Ciao.